and thank God for everyone's life and for the week that went by for keeping us. Hallelujah. Let's go into another message that the Lord wants to speak to us for tonight. The gifts of God. The gifts of God. Okay. What are the gifts of God? The gifts of God, I'm referring to the Old Testament because at that time the gifts of the Holy Spirit were not present. The gifts of the Holy Spirit came in the New Testament, but even in the Old Testament, God gifted his servants to carry out his kingdom work. What are the gifts of God? The gifts of God enables one to operate and function beyond their human abilities and intellectual for the glory of God and for the purposes of God's kingdom. It enables one to operate and function beyond their human abilities and intellectual for the glory of God and for the purposes of God's kingdom. God advances his kingdom and fights the devil by giving authority and gifts to men. He gives authority unto men. He grants gifts. The gifts are basically the ability that God has is given unto the clay, unto man who is made with clay. So through those gifts, a man is able to carry out functions which are supernatural, which are beyond human ability. Those are gifts that God gives unto men. Hallelujah. And it is by gifts, it is by the authority that God gives to a man that man is able to carry out the work of God. That person is able to carry out the work of God, the kingdom work, to fulfill God's purpose on earth. Because if you want to carry out God's purpose on earth, you need to know that you need to dominate or you need to fight and resist the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of darkness. And for that, you need to be gifted by God. You need to have authority from God. Hallelujah. Okay, it was through the gifts of Joseph that God saved the world from famine. Do you know that? Joseph was gifted. And we will come to that. I am just starting off. We see that the world was saved from famine. Otherwise, Egypt, along with the whole world, there would have been a great death of people, of multitudes throughout the world because of the famine that hit the nations of the earth. All the nations of the earth were hit by that famine, but not Egypt, because there was a person in Egypt who was gifted by God. The gift that he carried was to interpret, to see dreams and visions, and to interpret dreams and vision. That gift enabled Joseph to save the world through him. God saved the world through him, through his gifts from the famine. It was through the gift that Joseph carried. All right, hallelujah. So even the gifts of the Holy Spirit specifically came in the New Testament, but even in the Old Testament, the servants of God were gifted with the gifts of God. All right, it was through the gifts of the working of signs, wonders, and miracles that God delivered Israel from Egypt. There was an impartation that happened on the mountain of Horeb to Moses. The three things that God introduced him on the mountain of Horeb, we will come to that later, that imparted authority and gift to Moses. Hallelujah. Some gifts are imparted through dreams. Some gifts are imparted when you have an encounter with the Lord, when you have a visitation with the Lord. Some gifts are just imparted when you are with the Lord in the secret place through the word of God that comes to you. But God gives gifts to people. Hallelujah. And today the Christianity we see, the believers don't understand that each believer in the church carry gifts. But most of the churches, especially the mega churches, especially those churches which all the bunch of people, all the thousands of people depend on the pastor, they depend on one person's gift, but they don't understand that the whole church Every believer is gifted to carry out kingdom work, to carry out the purpose of God. They have authority. They are gifted. And people don't recognize they are gifted. When they don't recognize they are gifted, the gift is taken away from them and given to the person who is using the gift. We will come to that. Are we understanding? It was by the gift of the working of signs, wonders, and miracles that God gave to Moses, that God delivered Israel from Egypt. It was through the gift of might that God gave Samson, that God fought against the Philistines who were against Israel. Okay, the Samson had the gift of might. He had the gift of physical might. The mighty spirit of God rested upon him, and he could tie those foxes by their tails. He could destroy 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. What was that? That was the might of God. He was gifted supernaturally. Hallelujah. All right. So what are gifts? Gifts of God enables one to operate and function beyond their human abilities and intellectual for the glory of God and for the purposes of God's kingdom. Now, don't think only Apostle Raul is gifted here and this and that. Every believer is gifted. Now, before we begin, I want everyone to confess that I am gifted by God. Everyone confess that I am gifted by God.
I am gifted by God.
Yes. Yes, you are gifted by God. And the Lord gave me this message because the Lord wants to speak to you. Because some of you don't recognize your gifts. Some of you know your gift, but you haven't been using your gift because of some problems. And we will locate those problems in the spirit realm. The problems that have come in your life because of which you stopped using your gift, because you don't trust that your gifts are good enough to benefit. Okay, let's go ahead. Now, the next thing that I want to tell you is God gives you gift, but it is by application and practices of those gifts that you begin to grow in those gifts and use it to its fullest measures. God gives you gift, but it is by application and practicing that gift. Do we understand that? You have to invest in that gift. You have to use that gift. You have to take a step of faith to operate in that gift, even as the Holy Spirit leads you, hearing the Lord, hearing the Holy Spirit. God gives you gifts, but it is by application and practices of those gifts that you begin to grow in those gifts and use it to its fullest measure. Let's go and start reading from Matthew's chapter number 25. Let's read from, and I want everyone to pay attention when this scripture is being read. Matthew's chapter number 25, verse number 14 to 30. Can anyone help me read that scripture first? Matthew's chapter number 25. Verse number 14, 1-4. Verse 14 to verse number to 30. Can someone read that scripture? Hallelujah.
The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gave 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sowed and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have yours. There you have what is yours. My goodness. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given. He will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Amen. Okay. So I hope you heard that passage from the Bible. First thing that we will look at, so there were 3 servants. To one servant, the master gave 5 talents. To another, he gave 2 talents. And to another, he gave 1 talent. All right. And he went to a far country and he tested them when he gave them talents. God gives you talents. Those are gifts that God gives you. So what happened after that? The one who had 5 talents made more 5 talents, invested his time, invested his energy on those 5 talents, and he made more 5 talents from it. So the first thing I want to tell you from this parable is God expands and increases your boundaries as per your investment on your given gifts. God expands and increases your boundaries as per your investment on the given gifts. Are we understanding that? You want to become a rich man, you want to buy a house, but the first job, are you performing your job faithfully, even though it is small, even though they are 5? Are you performing? Are you investing? Are you putting your energy, your time? Are you doing it faithfully? Or you, what is this? I will only get 5,000 from this job. I want to become a rich man. You will keep on dreaming and asking from the Lord, but you will never get it. God does not start with big. God starts with small. God starts with small. It says that the mustard seed is the smallest of the seed, but when it grew, it became the largest of the tree. That is what refers to God's kingdom and how God operates. Are we together, people of God? On the contrary, the devil starts off big. But God starts off small. And then as per the faithfulness of the steward, that is you and me, he starts to increase. So the one who was faithful with the 5 talents, the one who was faithful with the 5 talents. Oh, you know what? I am not gifted like Apostle Raul and this and that, you know what, this and that. But what are you given? I was not gifted so much. I did not have the prophetic gift when I began with God. I did not have had the word of knowledge gift, the word of wisdom, this teaching anointing. I had an opportunity when I started off with God, after I encountered Christ, I had an opportunity to arrange chairs and the speakers and the sound mixer in the church. And it was not even one Sunday that I was late or I missed. That was the responsibility that God gave me. In the beginning, I did not have these gifts and all this abilities even to speak properly to a person. I could not speak properly to a person. It was the gifts, it was the enlargement on the basis of the few or the small that God gave me that God started to slowly increase, and it will go on. Are we understanding? God will expand, and every believer has a gift. I am telling you, every believer has a gift, but some of them have not even increased in God or expanded because they have never used their gifts. It says God expands and increases your boundaries as per your investment on the given gifts. Are we together? The five talents, the one who made more five talents, he said, okay, what he said to that servant, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Expansion, more authority, more responsibility in God's kingdom. Faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That means even as you increase, you will not be burdened. You will be joyful in serving the Lord. Even as you increase, many people, when they increase, their faces become more grumpy, and as if a weight is placed on their shoulder. They stoop down because there is so much pressure on them. Hallelujah. That is the devil's success that the devil gives to them. It's not like that with the Lord. When the Lord increases you, he will not add sorrow. He will add joy to your business. He will add joy to your work that you are doing for him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Amen. Now, the next thing that I want to tell you, let's come to the third servant. The third servant is an interesting one. And praise Jesus that he mentioned about the third servant that we are able to learn from this parable. The third servant, what did he do? Then he who had received, verse number 24, it says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, and reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and I went and hid. What made him afraid? It says, I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. That draws us to the conclusion that the third servant did not work on the talent of the master because he had no selfish benefits that he could draw from working on it. Because he knew that when the master comes, the talent belongs to the master. If I would have invested on the talent, the increase that would have come, I would have to give it to the master, back to the master. So what benefit will I have? So why should I work on it? Okay? Learn to use your gifts to draw no selfish benefits out of it. Okay? Learn to use your gifts. Now we are on the gifts of God for those who have joined now. Okay? Now learn, every believer is gifted. That is what we spoke about, but let us continue. Now, why do people fail to use their gifts? Why so many believers don't use their gifts? Because they are selfish. Oh, if I read the Bible, will I get a car? Will I get what I want? If I study the Bible, if I spend time with God, for 5 days, what will I get? That is their attitude. Learn to use the gifts of God. Learn to spend time with God. Learn to fulfill your responsibility that you have towards God without any expectation, without any selfish benefit. That was the advantage. That was the attitude which became an advantage for the first two servants. They earned the five talents from the five talents. The second one earned the two talents from the two talents. When the master came, they said, Master, this is what we have did. Take it now. So that means they were working to please the master and not to please themselves. Hallelujah. Many people want to serve God. Many people want to do something for God to please themselves, not to please God, to draw selfish benefit out of it. That's why they cannot operate in the gifts of God. Are we understanding that? They cannot operate in the gift of God. Learn to use your gift to draw. This guy was, the third guy was selfish. He said, the master will come. If I work on the talent, he is the one who will take from me, because he gathers from where he has not sown. I will work and he will take the benefit. The master will take the benefit. He will take the glory. He will take the credit. So, why should I work? Are we understanding that?
Yeah.
That is the first thing we have to overcome. When we use your gifts to draw no selfish benefits out of it. Let me show you a scripture in Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 18. This was the gift, anointing, authority upon Jesus. Verse number 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. All the functionalities of the gifts that was upon Jesus, of the Spirit, the anointing that was upon Jesus, was to serve others and to serve God. It was not unto any selfish benefit. That is why God gives gifts to men. It's not that Jesus, you will be kept hungry and in want if you use the gift, because you are using the gift with unto others. No, God will reward you. Like they worked for God without selfishness, but God increased and expanded them. They were rewarded. Hallelujah. But their attitude was selfless towards when they were using their talents and increasing their talents. Okay. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The next revelation from this parable I want to give you is, you have to know that the owner of the gifts or the talents is the master, and you need to give it to him, the credit and glory, when you earn from your gifts and not to yourself. This third servant, he said, you know what, I know what kind of person you are, and if I work on the gifts, I will not draw benefit, because it's your talents that you gave me. I will not work on your talents. So since he was not the owner of the talents, and God was the owner of the talents, so he did not work on it. What he wanted, he would have worked on the talents which he himself owned. And when the increase came, he would have able to manage by his own will and not by the will of the master. Do we understand that? So many people, when they get gifted, when they get anointed, they want to use the anointing, they want to use the gifts of God by their own will, forgetting that God is the owner of anointing. There has been a lot of circus going on in Christianity. Oh, this person's anointing, that person's anointing, this person's anointing. So believers themselves, by the spirit of flattering, have been giving tags to men that they are the owner of anointing. Oh, Benny Hinn's anointing, that anointing, we want to go in that anointing, we want to receive this anointing. No, it's not their anointing. God is the owner of the gifts that are given unto them. God is the owner of the anointing given unto them. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? Oh, when I speak that, they will say, oh brother, you need to, yeah, in the Bible it's Elijah's anointing. Who's Elijah's anointing? But Elijah was not the owner of that anointing. For him to give a double portion, he had to depend on God. He said, okay, Elisha, if I go to God, and if you see me going, then that means God has given you the portion of my anointing. So he considered God the owner of the anointing. And when you read Ephesians chapter number 4, you will read there that the anointing upon Jesus was distributed on men. When he ascended on high, he distributed gifts among men in Ephesians chapter number 4. Hallelujah. That is a shadow of what happened in the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers, when Moses was burdened with the ministry, and he said, God, these people are grumbling, complaining, I cannot handle them. I means the burden is too heavy. The burden that he mentioned was the burden of intercession. So he said the burden of interceding for them is too heavy. So God said, okay, bring the 70 elders when you bring the 70 elders, I will take the portion of the anointing that is upon you and distribute on those 70 elders. Do we know that in the Bible? And distribute on the 70 elders. And now who did that? God decided to do that because God was the owner. And that is a prophetic shadow of what Jesus was going to do. The anointing that was upon Jesus is going to be taken and distributed on all of us. The gifts that are upon Jesus shall be distributed to the members of the body of Christ. Do we understand that? So this guy did not want to work on the talents because, you know what? I am not the owner. So I have to work on someone else's talents. And when I work on his talents, he will be the owner. The increase he will manage. But I don't want to work like that. I want to be owner of my talent. I want to have my own talent. And then I will work as I want. When the increase comes, I will manage. I will do whatever I want to do with that. I want to be the owner. So you are not the owner of gifts. Many people don't operate in gifts, or their gifts start to become manipulated. I know people who operated in the prophetic. I know people who operated in the word of knowledge gift. They could see things that used to happen in the lives of people, and they could see spirits that affected them. They could see strongholds. They could tap into the realms of God and get a prophetic word and give it to people. They operated in that. I know people who operated in the prophetic gifts, in the word of knowledge gift, in the word of wisdom gift. Their anointing started to get mixed and manipulated. So whatever they used to speak, it could not be verified whether they are speaking of God or speaking of their flesh or speaking the utterance of the devil. Why their anointing started to get manipulated? Because they started to own their gifts. Because they started to own their gifts. They did not manage the gifts under the master. They wanted to manage the gifts under their own will. Do you know that was the temptation that came to Jesus from the devil? The devil came, if you are the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. That means use your gift as a Son of God, the gift that you have, use your gift as per what I tell you to do. Do you know that can happen? Do you know that can happen? The devil is telling people to use their gifts that they have as per what the devil wants them to do. That can happen because the Bible, the scripture records that the devil wanted Jesus to turn the stone into bread by using the gift of God. Hallelujah. You might say then, the God will not allow. No, the scripture says, when you read Romans chapter number 11, verse number 29, the gifts and the calling of God, these two things, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Are irrevocable. Once God gives you a gift, he will not take it back because it was a gift. He's not that person who will, oh, no, now I'm taking your gift back. He will keep that with you even when you started to use that gift for the devil. Hallelujah. That is how the deception comes. That is how Satan has supernatural abilities. He did not produce it by himself. What are those abilities that Satan has? Those are the gifts of God that God gave him when he was the angel of God. Hallelujah. That was the third revelation from the parable. This guy wanted to be the owner of the talents rather than working on the talents under the ownership and under the authority of God. That's why many people cannot operate in gifts. I know many people, when they get the prophetic gift, they are so amazed. I can operate in the prophetic. I can see things. So with that gift, I am very careful. I carry gifts, and those gifts are from God. I am very careful when I operate in those gifts. I don't operate by my will. I operate by what the Holy Spirit tells me to. Even if I see some things, and when I go to speak, the Holy Spirit will say, don't speak it. I will not speak it, because the gifts are operated. The talents that I work on are operated under someone else's authority. It belongs to him. Do we understand that? But you will, Hallelujah. People of God, if you are here in this place, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Gifts have to be operated. If I see certain things and I know what I saw, it is against the ego of the person. But God will tell me, speak that as it is. And I have to speak that. I cannot please the person. I have to say that as it is to the person. I will tell that person, you know what, God is showing me this. And this is what the problem with you is. I am not pleasing the person because, some people got gifts. But with those gifts, they started to operate in those gifts by their own will. They started to operate in those gifts to please people and not to please God. That was this person, the third person who did not work on the talents. Why? Because he did not have a chance to operate or to work on those talents with his own ownership. He had to operate or to work on those talents under the authority of the master. Do we understand that? Hallelujah. So many people who have gifts, God does not enhances those gifts. Gifts have to be sharpened by practice and by investment that you do on those gifts. Gifts have to be sharpened, you have to grow in those gifts, and you will grow in those gifts when you are not selfish to draw benefit. When you are the steward and not the owner, you operate it under God's authority and not your own authority. Are we understanding? Then you start to grow in the gifts. Then you start to operate mightily. I don't boast about the gift, but I know how God used me to give interpretations to people about their dreams. Interpretations to people about their dreams that were mysteries, deep mysteries. God gave them interpretation about dreams that were locations that were a mystery, and through the interpretation, those locations opened up for them. Mysteries. Daniel was gifted, and God operates and comes against the kingdom of darkness when by giving gifts unto men, by giving authority unto men. Are we together? Hallelujah. So that is the third revelation, that you have to know that you are not the owner of the gift. The Lord and whatever the use your gift, you have to give glory and credit, and you have to submit under the Lord's authority. The fourth revelation I want to give about this parable is, have the right understanding of your master and don't try to be independent of him. Rather, work under him and for him. This guy did not have the right understanding of the master. He said, I know you as a cruel person, he told the master. I know you as a cruel person. You are a guy who will reap from places where you haven't sown. You need to understand that you are a steward, you are a slave, and he is the master. Obviously, he will not come down and work on the ground. You have to work for him. So he did not have the right relationship with the master. The New Age movement, the love, Jesus, Jesus's love movement has created Jesus as a close friend. But you have to know that he is a master. He is a king, and you need to be a servant unto him. He will not keep your hand on your shoulder and roam around with you in the streets and, oh, my friend, buy this, buy that. Oh, you are not able to carry your bag of your clothes. I will carry it for you. They look at Jesus from that perspective, that God is my servant. No. God is not your servant. He will not come and work for you. You have to work for him. He did not have the right understanding of the master. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? One of the pastors that I saw from the US, he came and told, this happened with me in my life. I was angry with God, and Jesus came into my room, and Jesus told me, I am sorry, my son, forgive me. Jesus was asking forgiveness from him. What kind of Jesus they are watching? What kind of Jesus there? Jesus came and was asking forgiveness. My son, I hurted you. Please forgive me. That is the utterance of the beast. That is the utterance of Lucifer. They are trying to create a Jesus who will be their servant, who will carry them, who will hug them, who will, oh, I hurted you. You are right. I am wrong. God can never be wrong. How can God come and tell the pastor? And he is a pastor preaching. My God, my God, hallelujah. So this is that kind of servant. He did not have the right understanding of the master. He said, you are this guy who will reap where you have not sown, who will do things where you have not worked for, and you want me to just work and you will take the benefit. Obviously, he will take the glory because he is the master and you need to work for him. Not like a slave, not like a controlled person, and he is not a dictator. No, by your own free will. But you need to have that understanding that the Lord is your master. Do we understand that? Yes. I know many of believers who speak like that. Why did God did that for me? God should have done this for me. They speak as if God is their servant. They speak as if God should come at your table, come at their table and serve them, and all those nonsense, all those pictionaries and images that they create. Jesus comes at my table, he served me, he switches on the bath, the shower for me, he did this for me. That is not Jesus. That is their imaginary demon who is creating, that is their imaginary demon who is creating a wrong picture of Jesus to them. And showing as if God is their servant. And you can, those are familiar spirits. Hallelujah. You should be careful about these things. So these are the four revelations that we draw from this parable. First of all, God expands and increases your boundaries as per your investment on the given gifts. And secondly, that you learn to use your gifts to draw no selfish benefits out of it. Thirdly is, you are not the owner of the gifts. So you operate in those gifts and use the gifts under the authority of the master, of the father. Okay. The fourth is, you need to have the right understanding of your master, that your master is not a servant. You are a servant towards your master. When you follow these things, you will be able to work on your gifts and the Lord will be able to expand you. But wait there. When you do all these things right and start to work on your gifts, there comes the devil to attack you emotionally, physically, spiritually, and mentally. Okay, we will look at those attacks, but I want to, beloved, to operate on God's gift is not easy. Everyone say, to operate in God's gift is not easy. Is not easy.
To operate in God's gift is not easy.
I'm telling you, it's not easy. I'm telling you by experience and from my Bible, from the scripture that I learned. It's not easy for people who grew in the gifts of God. But the way they grew, it was not easy for them. They had to overcome attacks from the enemy, because the devil does not want you to operate in God's gift and authority, under God's authority, under God's, with submission towards God. The devil does not want people to do that. So when he sees people operating in gifts, the devil attacks them. How? We will see in the next part. But before going to that part, I want to come to the part where I want to explain the gifts given to Moses. The gifts given to Moses. Because the gifts that were given to Moses would speak to a lot of people prophetically. And how was the, there was an authority and there were gifts that were given to him. And Moses received those gifts when he encountered God on the mountain of Horeb, when he encountered God in the burning bush. So gifts are imparted by God. Do we understand that? Gifts are imparted by God. It can be imparted by an encounter. It can be imparted in a dream. It can be imparted when you spend time with God and while spending time with God, God releases a word through the word that you receive. It can be imparted. It can be imparted when you are fellowshipping with a person who is gifted. Even that is possible, like Elijah and Elisha. They were in fellowship and God used it like Moses and the 70 elders. God took the anointing on Moses, released on them. It can be imparted when you walk with certain men of God, and that part has been violated by men of God by showing that they are the owner of anointing. But let me leave that. So it can be imparted in different ways, but I am using the character of Moses and the personality of Moses to show you what kind of gifts and authority was given to Moses. So let's go to Exodus chapter number 4, and someone read for me verse number 1 to 12. Exodus chapter number 4. Someone read verse number 1 to 12.
And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord had not appeared unto thee." And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, had appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, "Put now thine hand into thine bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, "Put thine hand into thy bosom again." And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also thee, these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take off the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And the Lord said unto him, "Who had made man's mouth, or who make it the dumb or deaf, or the seeing of the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say."
Amen. Yes, that's it.
Thank you. Lord is blessed.
Amen. So, the scripture that sister read, there are four gifts in that scripture that were imparted to Moses when the Lord asked him to do the three activities, and the fourth one is utterance. So the first gift was the rod, which signifies authority over the serpentine marine stronghold. The first gift that was given to Moses on that mountain was the rod, which signifies the authority, because Pharaoh operated in the power of the serpent, of the great dragon. When you read Ezekiel, I don't have time, I've many times preached on that the spirit in Pharaoh was the great monster that used to live in the river Nile. That was the spirit that Pharaoh carried. So Moses had to have the power, had to have the gift, the authority to come again. So he said, what is in your hand? The rod. He said, throw the rod. And then he said, it became a snake. And Moses started to get afraid of that snake. But God said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of that spirit, because I have given you authority. Take it by the tail and take it back in your hand. So that's why Moses did not kill Pharaoh, but he could control Pharaoh. Because he, hallelujah, do we understand that? So he could control Pharaoh. The snake was not killed or the rod was not broken. But the Lord said, take it by the tail and hold it in your hand. So though that spirit of serpentine is very wicked, dangerous, but it shall be under your control, Moses. The gift to keep the serpent under your feet. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Do we understand that? The gift to keep I expected people will shout hallelujah when I spoke about the serpent that will be under your control. The devil will be under, hallelujah, the serpent will be under your feet. That is the first gift. The second gift is now, once he has dealt with the spiritual serpent, with the spirit, with the marine stronghold, then comes into the picture the flesh. The flesh signifies the human pride and arrogance of Pharaoh. So he said, put your flesh, put your hand into your bosom, into your coat, and draw it out. It will be as leprous as snow. So I give you the authority to strike and to bring down that mighty flesh, that pride of Pharaoh. That was another gift where human superpowers will be able to, with all their pride and arrogance. But when Moses stands before him, they will bow down to Moses. They will listen to Moses. It was a gift of God imparted on Moses. Do we understand that? Okay, there is an impartation ceremony that is happening on the mountain of Horeb. God is imparting his gifts on Moses. The third gift was to destroy the limitations of captivity with which Egypt kept Israel captive. And that limitation was in the form of water. That limitation was in the form of water. Because when they were trying to come out of Egypt, there was the Red Sea. And that limitation had, you know, in the first plagues, the frogs came out of the water. Then the water, before that, the water was striked and the water became blood. What was happening in those plagues? God was destroying the spirits, the marine spirits, through which the waters held captive the people of Israel. So God gave him another gift against the marine spirits. God gave him the gift to break limitations, to part limitations, and to take the people of God out. That was the gift. That was the third one where God said, take the water and pour it on the ground and it shall become blood. That means you will destroy the power of the water. You will strike the power of the water and it shall be slain. That's why it became blood. The fourth gift that was given to Moses, granted to Moses, was utterance to speak. So Moses said, oh, I am not eloquent, I am this and that. But God said, who has made? So when God was speaking to Moses, God gave him the utterance to speak. But Moses was reluctant. And many pastors, many people compare that with humility. That's not humility. That's ignorance and arrogance to not to serve God, even when he has gifted you. So God was angry with Moses. If someone is humble, God will not be angry with the humble man. But God was angry with Moses because Moses was reluctant to use the fourth gift. Moses was reluctant to use the fourth gift. So God said, okay, for time being, go. Let your brother Aaron, he will speak for you. But even as Moses started to operate in those gifts, we will never see Aaron in the later part speaking. Moses himself started to speak because he started to operate in those gifts. Do we understand that? When Moses, now, after this impartation ceremony, after God gave gifts to Moses, Moses went out of the wilderness, met Aaron, met his family, his sister, and then he started to carry out the purpose of God. In the initial phases, he was very reluctant. He was very reluctant to go to Pharaoh. He was asking a lot of questions. But even as he started to use those gifts that were given to him, you know what? Moses started to increase in that authority. Moses started to increase in those gifts. That is how you increase in the gift. In the beginning itself, Pharaoh will not bow down to you or great things will not happen. But start to use that gift from small. Hallelujah. And when you start to use that gift, when it is small, many attacks will be launched as it came in Moses' life. But when you start to consistently by faith use the gift and don't give up, God will increase that authority that he gave you and take it to the fullest measure. God will increase that gift that he gave you and stretch it to the fullest measure. Many people get succumbed to the attacks that are launched against them when they start using their gift. Oh, Pharaoh is not listening to me. Oh, you know what? This, the people of Israel are not listening to me. I will not operate in this. And that's why their gifts diminishes. Because they cannot understand that when they start to use their gift, they will be attacked. Hallelujah. Tonight, God wants to speak to you that every person who is sitting here is gifted. Someone has a gift of the word of knowledge. Someone has a gift of prophecy. Someone has the gift of administration. Someone has a gift of singing. Someone has the gift of writing songs. Someone has the gift of support. Everyone is gifted, but are you using the gift to build the kingdom of God? Are you operating in that gift? Are you, when we come together for intercession, I love to see people operating in those gifts. And if you operate wrongly, I will not say anything, but this is a platform where you can operate, when you can put your gifts to use, because that is how you will understand the potential that you carry, by, that God has given you. Hallelujah. Amen. I know people whom I gave assignments, when they started to do that assignment, they felt attacked when they started to do that assignment, but I encouraged them and they, oh, you know what? I am getting attacked. No, I said the devil does not want you to do that. So reject that attack. Ignore that. Don't put your mind in it and continue to do your job. Hallelujah. Okay. I think the attacks against your gifts, I think I will start on that on Sunday night. But before going on to that, let's see how Moses started to use his gifts. Now, what is the first gift? The rod. When the rod has done its job, the rod has to do? The rod has to destroy the serpentine spirit. What is the serpentine spirit? The serpentine spirit operates through sorcery, magic, and divination. So the rod first, when the rod is able to destroy the serpentine hold, then the second which will come is the flesh attack against the pride of Pharaoh, arrogance of Pharaoh. So that is how Moses started to operate in his gifts. Turn with me to Exodus chapter number 7. Exodus chapter number 7, verse number 8 to 10. Now, I'm not reading all scriptures because we don't have much time, but let's look at 8 to 10. Exodus chapter number 7, verse number 8 to 10. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and they did so just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. You see, which people did this gift provoke of the rod? The sorcerers, the wise men, the magicians, they operated through the divination, through the serpentine spirit, through the serpent spirit. So they were brought and they started to challenge this one, this gift, this sign that was performed to the rod. So Pharaoh called the sorcerers, the magicians, the wise men of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their swords, swallowed up their rods. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. Now, listen to me. As I told you, the first gift of the rod will attack the serpents, the serpent spirits. Now, listen to me. When they used the gift of the rod that was given to them, what happened? The enemy also could do the same thing they were doing. But the difference was their rod ate up the rod of the enemy. So even though the first usage or the practice of your gift would not be overwhelming to you and would not bring victory to you, but there is something that happened. The authority of the serpent was swallowed up when you started using your gift. Hallelujah. The authority of the serpent.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You have to look at what happened. You know, I prayed, but nothing happened. But there is something that has happened. You got to have the eyes to see. Everything will not happen at once. But you have to consistently pray. Oh, I prayed, but nothing happened. But something has happened. Your rod swallowed up their rods. So the first level of authority that the serpent used to operate through the sorcerers and magicians is destroyed when you first used your gift. All right. Now, God commanded the rod to be used only for four visits, because four visits to the Pharaoh was enough to destroy the serpent. And after that, no longer God asked them to use the rod. Let's look at the second visit now. In Exodus chapter number 7, verse number 15 to 19. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod, again the rod that is in my hand, they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die. The river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. This is the second attack with the gift of the rod. When the authority of the magicians and the sorcerers were swallowed up, the second realm that God attacked through the rod was the realm of the water. Because you will know that Egyptians use the water to perform sorcery, use the water to cast spells. So the rod was used to now come against the water spirits, the marine spirits. Are we together? The third visit, Exodus chapter number 8. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come upon you and your people and on all your servants. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with the rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters. Stretch out the hand with your rod. Okay, again the rod is used. And when the rod is used, frogs come out of the water. Can you imagine there are so many frogs in that river, in that water, that can completely cover Egypt in the kneading balls, in the ovens, into the beds and the houses of servants? So many frogs. Those frogs signify, frog is one of the member of the family of the serpent spirits. Again, there is the deliverance that is happening in the realm of the marine spirits. Okay, now listen to me. After that, when you read, we don't have time. The sorcerers were able to mimic or copy what Moses did. They were also able to bring out frogs from the water. The sorcerers were able to mimic what they did with the water turning into blood. They were also able to turn the water into blood. Now comes the fourth visit. Stay with me. The response would not be overwhelming when you are using the gifts. Maybe the victory is not coming completely, but continue to use your gifts. Continue to use the rod that God has given you. Don't stop using the gift that God has given you. Operate in that gift with the speaking that God tells you to do with the gift that He has given you. Hallelujah. Let's look at the fourth visit.
Amen.
Till now, you know, many people would have been discouraged. Oh, you know, what we are doing, they are also able to do. They are also mimicking. So it's not difference. No. Stop. Continue to use, operate in the gift that God has given you. Let's look at the fourth visit. The fourth visit, the realm has shifted. Now God is done with the water. God is done with the serpent. Now God comes to the ground of Egypt. Let's look at the fourth visit. Exodus chapter number 8. Exodus chapter number 8, verse number 16 to 18. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod, again the rod, and strike the dust of the land, so it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now listen to this. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. This is the end of the first realm is defeated. The realm of sorcery, magic, divination of the serpent and of the marine power in Egypt is defeated. Because after this, the magicians were not able to copy what they were doing. Hallelujah. The power, the gift, the authority that God has given you, beloved, is greater than that of sorcerers, diviners, and witchcraft people.
Amen.
You have to understand that. But still, amen, you think, oh, no. I'm attacked by them rather than you attacking them, because you don't have faith. You don't have faith to use your gifts consistently against them. Hallelujah. I many times got defeated in the first round of wrestling. I got defeated with the enemy in the first round of wrestling. But I got up and said, let's have a second round. Okay, I was defeated in the second round. But I knew, with every defeat, I am making them weak. Hallelujah. Oh my God, this group is not shouting amen. This dude, hallelujah. My God.
Amen.
It's a struggle for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to be hot and not cold. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this was the fourth visit. The magicians and the sorcerers were not able. They said, we are not able to do what they are doing. This is the finger of God. Though you were defeated in the first, in the second, in the third round, go for the fourth round. They will acknowledge that your power is greater. The gift that you carry is greater than they have. Hallelujah. You should not stop using the power, the gift of prayer, the gift of intercession, the gift of prophecy. Whatever gift God. Now, I am telling you with all godly fear, And I'm not boasting. Some people, oh, Brother Raul, you said this, you said this. No, I am not boastful. I'm telling you, I have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this has been confirmed to me by other people long time back. As and when the Lord wants. So you might say, oh, all cannot speak in tongues. But Apostle Paul again clearly says that desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. Hallelujah. And when once I was in a prayer meeting, I used to take a prayer meeting and people used to encounter, have visions. They used to see plane crash before play. Some that news used to come. They used to see the earthquakes and people start to operate in gifts. But however, the pastor there started to become insecure, stopped the meeting. So one lady who used to come in that meeting, and then that lady after the meeting came and told me, I saw the Lord has given you all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that was true, what she was saying. So when you spend time with God, when you seek God, God gives you gifts. God gives you gifts so that you can operate in those gifts under Him for His glory, for His purposes. Now, I don't have time, but after this, after the fourth visit, read your Bible after Exodus chapter number 8, verse 16, 18. See the next plagues. God never again asked them to use the rod. Because the gift of the rod had done its job. Now, what was there? The second was the mighty flesh of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was still hard. So, this next gift was to attack the ego of Pharaoh. Okay, the rod was never again used until the Red Sea. When again the waters came, God asked Moses to use the rod. But after the fourth visit to Pharaoh, God did not use the rod. But when you read your Bible, you will come across that God did not told them to use the rod. But sometimes Moses was still taking the rod because they thought the magic was in the rod. You know, sometimes there was a movie that came in India. It was a good children's movie, very good movie. And the movie was based on cricket. So this orphan boy, who was an orphan boy in his, not even in his, I think 13, 14 years old. This boy came across a bat, a cricket bat. And when he started to play with that cricket bat, bowl used to come, he used to hit the six and the four. And then he recognized that there is magic. This is a magic bat. So some cricket coach saw him playing with the bat and they saw how he is hitting the bowlers. So that coach was the Indian team coach, and this little boy was brought into the falling Indian team in the movie. And then he started to play with the bat, little boy in the Indian team, adult Indian team. And then he started to hit sixes and he started to hit the bowlers because he thought it was a magic bat, and India started to win and they showed that they came into the final. But one of the enemies of this boy, who was jealous of this boy, another boy, came to know that this is the magic bat. Otherwise, this boy would not have prospered in cricket. So he came and took his magic bat, so-called magic bat, and broke it. And broke the magic bat. So he said, now no longer I will be able to play like that. This guy broke my magic bat. And then the captain of the Indian team, he came on the ground to play and he was not able to do anything. So the captain told him, it was not, the magic was not in the bat. The magic was in your skills, but you are continuing to use that object. So in your skills, that the way you play. So that is what happened with Moses, I believe, and Aaron, that after this, God was not asking them to use the rod. But even after that, sometimes they were using the rod because they thought that the power was still in the rod, but the power, the gift was upon them and was not on the object. Hallelujah. The power was on the person. The gift was on the person who is using the rod. Hallelujah. If someone else from Israel came, oh, this rod has magic. This rod has power. Let us use it. No. It will not work for them because it's the object does not has the gift, the person who uses the authority. The gift depends, the operation of the gifts depend on them. Hallelujah. I think it's becoming, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are we understanding? So after the fourth visit, when you have time, read your Bible. God did not ask them to use the rod. But sometime they were still using the rod, because the impartation of the gifts on Moses was done in four ways. It was the rod, and then when the rod did its job, it was to defeat the gift on Moses to defeat the arrogance, the pride of Pharaoh. Then it was the waters of the Red Sea. And then the fourth one was the gift for Moses to speak. In the name of Jesus, God can, you are not an average, normal believer just praying. You are a person whom God has gifted to carry out supernatural work for his kingdom. You are a person God has gifted to destroy spirits, to make wicked people bow down. But that will only happen when you recognize the gifts, when you start to operate in gifts that God has given you, beloved. The greatest gift I want to say to you that you can start off with, which is given to every believer, is the gift of prayer and intercession, is the gift of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been given unto men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, first round, I may get defeated, okay, but I will stand up, face the second round, face the third round. Maybe I'm getting defeated, but I know there will come a time where I am weakening them after every round. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? You know, in the last World Cup, the last Cricket World Cup, India won all the matches from start till the finish. But in the final match, they got defeated by the Australian team. And Australian team was like, they were getting defeated in the beginning, but even when they moved forward, they were getting stronger and stronger. And at last, they won the final match. I am telling you, many believers get discouraged so much that they stop operating in the gift because they face defeat. You will face defeat in the beginning, but the thing that you have to do is get up and face them again. Get up and face them again. Use the gift that has been given to you. Hallelujah. And there is a vast area where I have to cover the attacks that are launched against you when you start using your gifts. The attacks that are launched against you that when you start using your gifts, that I will cover Sunday night. And let me end here and let me pray. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, God, the Spirit of God is telling his people that God has gifted you. God has given you gifts. Hallelujah. We will talk about the gifts, about the diversities of gifts the next time, the next Sunday. But God has given you gifts, and many of you are not using the gifts. God has given you gifts, and you have to start using your gifts. You should not be like the servant who did not use the gifts. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for this time in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rovola ze fakato rivana rialze. Ey, frando vora halze andra vola halze andaraba. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for your people, Lord. Lord, every attack that I see that is launched against some of the people by witchcraft altars, and there are certain ceremonies that are abominable that I see being done against them, I cancel those attacks in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them rise, Lord. Let them not be ignorant, and let them operate in the anointing, in the authority, in the gifts that have been given to your people in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, seek for spiritual gifts. Let your people diligently seek for gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Let them seek for gifts, Lord. There are many gifts that you want to give unto your people, but because you don't see a hunger in them, you don't see a thirst in them, that's why you are not able to release those gifts, Lord, in their lives. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that your people will start to operate in gifts. And I pray, Lord, even in next meeting, even as we talk about the attacks, because many people were operating in gifts, but because of the attacks of the devil against them, they stopped. Some of them thought, oh, the gifts are useless. Some of them thought, oh, there is no use. These are not gifts. And they were made ignorant. There was a mental attack, Lord. There was, mindset planted into them, Lord, through situations, Lord, where they stop believing in the gifts of God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that your people will arise, Lord, and operate in the gifts that have been given unto them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Arabosh kabarabalahazianta, eh, ravalahal sialta rabandri lebe, rokolzia, that when the enemy is coming in like a flood, Lord, Lord, they along with the Holy Spirit will raise up a standard against the flood of the enemy, Lord, and stand like a wall, Lord, which will destroy the impact of the flood of the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Lord, I pray that every believer realizes that they are gifted by God. And I pray after this series that they will operate, Lord, that you will start to activate, Father, in the name of Jesus, the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in their lives, Lord, and they will start to operate in it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I want to give you the praise, honor, and glory, Lord, for this time, Lord. Hallelujah. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we make this prayer. Amen.